Blog Talk Radio.
We hadn't even scratched the surface of even 2% of God's essence. God got a lot to say and a whole lot of revelation left. He has a lot of witty ideas and inventions. He has a lot of great ideas, but his people's not tapping in it. If you let inadequacies keep you from being active, you're telling God that he's not even worth anything. But when you say, God, you want to use this vessel? Please use me. Because God's going to show the world just how much he can do with a person with little. God doesn't care about the qualified. Right. They're caught up in their own knowledge and wisdom. He cares right. about the people who don't have anything on their resume, right. but they got the Holy Spirit in them. Anybody else? Any questions?
I can hear the roar when it talk. Holy Spirit move me with a thought. Never go against it, what you thought. I'm an Israelite, we follow laws. If you love him, then you will follow his laws. They think it's done away with, but they off. They don't wanna hear it, cause it's hard. Just because you don't believe, don't make it false. Silly. Merge my mind in water, need a wash. I can smell the ending and it's coming, need a watch. Scratch that flavor, flavor, I need a clock. And that Ruach HaKodesh be my clock. Spiritual warfare, yeah. The demons be thinking it's sweet, killing them all here, yeah. We knocking them all off, no matter the cost, yeah, yeah. Thinking they want the beef until I defrost, yeah, stop it. Talk to me, I follow law, so walk with me. Don't mistake it for sorcery, cause that is borderline blasphemy. It's just best you don't come for me, I got angels that'll blaspheme me. Surf on my Shiach happily, watch him running like an athlete, plus, I can hear the Ruach when it talk. Holy Spirit move me with a thought. Never go against it, what you thought. I'm an Israelite, we follow laws. If you love him, then you will follow his laws. They think it's done away with, but they off. They don't wanna hear it, cause it's hard. Just because you don't believe, don't make it false.
Demons think they hard, so they call they self-attacking me. Got me fired up, chapter 7, 2nd Maccabees. School of hard knocks, yeah, my angels be my faculty. Let them bust a move, the spiritual war gon' end with a casualty.
Raphael grabbed the demons, Gabriel put him through it. Uriel aimed the arrow, Mikael got to pull it. I'm using the sword of the spirit, the demon they see it in fear. Energy big as the planet, they cannot dodge the bullet.
You better off if you repaint, get the most high, your legion. Won't drop the ball, got me banned. You ain't got the ball like defense. We getting close to the end, I can see the pattern like sequence. See, I'm the rapper that he sent to. One of the people that's decent to. Turn away from your ways, that's in praise. Don't go astray or make them wait, I'm delayed. Do not play, get it straight in the faith. Cause truth be told, really, you can die today.
I can hear the Ruach when it talk.
All right. Welcome. Okay. All right. Welcome to another episode of Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael Israel, and this is what I call the late night show. All right. Monday show was canceled, and actually, man, I wanted to do something that previous Friday. It's been on my mind to do these like little pop up shows or whatever, but I wasn't able to get to it. Through my career as a truck driver, I just have these situations all the time to where even when I say I'm be on at 5, some things may pop up and it gets canceled. So what I made up my mind to do is to try to redeem myself in my earliest convenience, is to have a little pop-up show, a random show, you know. I rarely kind of go at nighttime, overnight, because I'm really kind of turned into a morning person with my career and things like that. But right now is a pretty good time for me at the moment. So we doing a little late night show. So one thing I know about driving a truck is that there's a lot of late night over the road guys that are you know, trying to get to point A, point B. And these guys would definitely tune in to Blog Talk. That's like rolling down the road. I know it firsthand. I'm a trucker myself, you know. So, I mean, for y'all that may be listening, truck drivers out there, hey, we're reading in the Book of Jasher, and we're hoping to get caught up. Where we were was at Sunday, I believe, the last time we was on air. I believe so. And yeah, Sunday. So we plan on playing catch up with that, starting at 25 and see how far we can read. And the Book of Jasher, well, before I go into the details of the Book of Jasher, I'm going to open up Sister Dale's line. All right. There you go, Sister Dale. Your line is open.
All right.
I was about to go into detail about the Book of Jasher and how it's kind of showing a bunch of details and kind of giving the, you know, the warning signs that our normal canon in our Bible, that's our base. That's what we hold to be true. So we can very, you know, go into detail in other biblical books, but when they start to rival against our canon, we need to always go to the canon first, right? And hold that canon up as true, right? I mean, at least I'm, you know, that's where my mindset is anyway, you know? I mean, because it's Moses versus unknown writer, you know? And I'm going to go with Moses every time, right? So, yeah, but I wanted to get your opinion, Sistel. The Book of Jasher doesn't seem like it wants to rival our canon, do it? To you so far, or does it complements? Or
I think it complements. Yeah, I just think it complements.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be exact because it's two different interpretations. Don't you agree? So
right. Mm-hmm.
I think it's just for the reader to get a little bit more insight and possibly, you know, something to think about. That's all. But we do have to hold the canon as truth. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And how I understand it, Jasher means upright. This is the book of the upright ones. So to be upright one, I would think a people, a leadership people, maybe even a family, prominent family of could be other priestly people. It flows with our canon. It provides more detail, Moses kind of went through it, like the details described. They wrote down Moses' events and things like that. They rushed through it, and months and years passed by between different, you know, things that went down. It seems like Jasher kind of fills in those gaps, you know?
Yeah.
Because when you read it firsthand, I hear noise in your background.
Just mute me while you're talking.
Okay. All right.
And I even have a door closed, and you still
hear. All right. There you go. I'm muted in the background. So anyway, it kind of fills in those gaps, and it complements the scriptures and. Yeah, it kind of complements. But if we was to come across a hiccup, you know, where it says Abraham did this, and when our canon says he did that, you know, that's when we really need to go with our canon, right? On those type of situations, which I don't think we came across anything like that so far. But in our normal canon, what I was about to say before, you know, the noise or whatever, I could have swore up and down Abraham's son Isaac was just a little boy when he took him on the mountain to be sacrificed, you know? But reading the book of Jasher, we find that he's like a 35-year-old man, you know what I'm saying? That Isaac was not a little boy at that time. Let me open up your mic, Sister. I want to get your input on that.
Okay, I did a little research and just reading, extra reading, and it just goes to show that there was different interpretations. There was something written online about Jasher, and they were saying that Rebecca was 3 years old. But we know that's not true because how could she water his, you know, camels, give him water from a well? And then, of course, someone had written something about her being 14 years old when she married Isaac. But, you know, their number systems, we don't know how to interpret it, you know, age like that. So it may be some sort of a long stretch for us to pinpoint or anyone else to pinpoint.
If she was
big enough to put the bucket into the well and draw water, you know, for him to drink and for his and so you can imagine she had to be strong enough to do that. So she has to be an older young lady. And I presume probably somewhere in the area of 14.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sister Sam, we got another number just popped up not too long ago. Hopefully I've been waiting too long.
Okay.
Let me open up the mic
right
quick. Eric code 929, you are on the air.
If you will mute me, I appreciate it.
You want me to mute you?
Yes, please, for a moment, because we still have company here.
All right. Okay, all right. All right. Eric code 929. I see that you raised your hand up. You're live on the air. They got their mute button on, or? Okay. All right. If you want to remain anonymous, just let me know. But you could press 1 till your hand would go down. Okay, that's area code 929. All right, I'm gonna put you back on hold. All right. Okay. So. For the area code 929, I don't know what went down, but if you press 1, your hand will go down. And if you press 1 again, your hand will go up. Now, if your hand was to go down and then go up, then I know that you're trying to get my attention to open up your mic. But if you just want to listen, hey, that's cool too, all right? Okay, Sister Dale, are you ready for your mic to be back open yet? Hold on, let me see.
Yes, go right ahead. Just anytime you hear any extra noise, if you hear any extra noise, just mute me, brother. Apparently we have some extra company here in the house.
Even with my door closed,
I can still hear.
Okay, yeah, and normally it would be all good, but, you know, I don't want voices.
Right.
I didn't want the voices. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, So I guess without further ado, we got another caller that called in.
Okay.
But they not saying anything. Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and sometimes some people just wish to listen, and so we will give them opportunity. And I think when you said for them to press the 1 button to raise their hand or to lower and press it again to lower it, that would get your attention. So maybe that's what you're going to have to leave it at.
All right. So, okay.
And because they could be a new listener.
Right. I keep that in mind. Yeah, so your hand is up at the moment. Area code 929-478. Okay. Your hand is up. Now, if you press the number 1, your hand will go down. Okay. And, okay, I'm waiting on it to go down. They still have one down. Oh, there you go. It went down. All right. Now, if you were to press it again and the hand goes up, that will let me know that you want to be on air or got something to say or anything like that. But if you just want to chill and listen, that'll be good. All right. Okay. Anyway, without further ado, we're going to go and get into it, Estelle.
Okay.
All right. We had in chapter 25 in the book of Jasher, right?
Yeah.
We left off at 24, am I right?
I believe, yes, that 24? Was the end. I think we finished 24 and we're into 25. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We finished 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Okay, y'all, I'm going to go and get started. We'll see how far we can get in reading in Jasher. And all right, here we go. Let's see. Jasher chapter 25. And it was at that time that Abraham took a wife in his old age, and her name was Keturah from the land of Canaan. And she bare unto him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Chushak, being 6 sons. And the children of Zimran were Abiman, Molech, and Nirim. And the sons of Jokshan were Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Medan were Amida, Joab, Ogochi, Elisha, and Nathak. And the sons of Midian were Epher, Chanak, Abida, Elda. And the sons of Ishbak were Makaru, Beyuda, and Tater. And the sons of Shushak were Bildad, Mamdad, Manan, Medan, Maban. All these are the families of the children of Keturah, the Canaanitish woman, which she bare unto Abraham the Hebrew. Okay, let me pause right there. Now, was you aware of that, Sister Thel?
No, I wasn't.
You never? Okay, it's in our canon, but it's
okay.
A small verse in our canon that you can easily, read over.
Okay.
But after Sarah died, Abraham again got remarried,
yes.
Or took a wife.
Right.
And
yeah,
he had
that.
Children by her and her, one of her serving girls. So,
yeah,
he was a busy old man, all right? And
in his old
anyway,
age,
but
yes.
But all the sons that he had, they make up the entire Muslim population that we see over there in the Middle East, all right? And they live by the sword, all right? And matter of fact, if we was to go back earlier and just look at little bits of Ishmael, how he's a kind of a wild man and things like that was said about him, you can kind of see a lot of that inside of the Muslim world and that kind of attitude, that spirit within them, being the firstborn. He definitely got this firstborn type of mentality, attitude, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Super special above all Abram's kids, And so, you kind of see that same little attitude chip on their shoulder from all of these spiritual children with Cain and Abel, with Ishmael and Isaac, with Jacob
right.
and Esau, you know?
Yeah.
They all
yeah.
got this chip. The oldest boy always got this little chip on his shoulder. And I just want us to keep that in mind with this, you know, keep that in the back of your head as we go further into reading in Joshua. Because we haven't got to Jacob and Esau yet, but I'm still trying to, you know, keep your mindset on these brothers that we're reading about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, verse 6. Let me see if anybody raised their hand. Okay. Oh, we got a caller that dropped out.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Verse 6. And Abraham sent all these away, and he gave them gifts, and they went away from his son Isaac to dwell wherever they should find a place. And all these went to the mountain at the east, and they built themselves six cities in which they dwelt unto this day. But the children of Chebah and Dedan, children of Jokshan, with their children, did not dwell with their brethren in their cities. And they journeyed and encamped in the country in wildernesses unto this day. And the children of Midian, son of Abraham, went to the east of the land of Cush, and they there found a large valley in the eastern country, and they remained there and built a city, and they dwelt therein. That is the land of Midian unto this day. And Midian dwelt in the city which he built. He had his five sons and all belonging to him. And these are the names of the sons of Midian, according to their names, in their cities: Ephah, Ephra, Chanak, Abida, Elda. And the sons of Ephah were Mathak, Mashar, Avi, and Tuzana. Zanu. And the sons of Ephra were Ephraim, Zer, Elirim, Medin, and the sons of Chanak were Ruel, Rakim, Azi, Yoshub, and Allah. And the sons of Abida were Chur, Malud, Kiri, Moki, and the sons of Eldar were Micah, and Reba, and Bethiah, and Gabor. These are the names of the Midianites, according to their families. And afterwards, the families of Midian spread throughout the land of Midian. And these are the generations of Ishmael, the son of Abraham, from Hagar, Pharaoh's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And Ishmael took a wife from the land of Egypt, and her name was Ribah. The same is Meribah. And Ribah bare unto Ishmael Neboiah, Kedah, Abil, Mitzam, and their sister Basma. And Ishmael cast away his wife Ribah, and she went from him and returned to Egypt, to the house of her father, and she dwelt there, for she had been very bad in the sight of Ishmael and in the sight of his father Abraham. And Ishmael afterward took a wife from the land of Canaan, and her name was Malchus, and she bare unto him Nishma, Duma, Masa, Tadad, Tema, Yeter, Naphish, and Kedma. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, being 12 princes according to their nations, and the families of Ishmael afterward spread forth. And Ishmael took his children and all the property that he had gained, together with the souls of his household and all belonging to him. And they went to dwell where they should find a place.
Mm-hmm.
And they
yeah.
went and dwelt. And they went and dwelt near the wilderness of Paran. And they dwelt, and their dwelling was from Havilah unto Shur. That is before Egypt, as thou comest toward Assyria. And Ishmael and his sons dwelt in the land, and they had children born to them, and they were fruitful and increased abundantly. And these are the names of the sons of Nebajoth, the firstborn of Ishmael. Men, Sin, Mayon, and the sons of Keter were Alion, Kezim, Chamad, and Eli. And the sons of Adbil were Chamad and Javan. And the son of Mitzam were Obadiah, Ebed-Melech, and Yush.
Mm-hmm.
These are the families of the children of Rabbah, the wife of Ishmael. And the son of Mishma, the son of Ishmael, were Shuma, Zacharion, and Obed. And the sons of Duma were Kezid, Elam, Machmad, and Ahmed. And the sons of Masa were Malan, Ula, and Emberdon. And the sons of Chadad were Azur, Minja, Ebed-Melech.
And they tend to name similar names, too, though.
And the sons of Tima.
He has
yeah,
a son
like
just like repeating the name in some of the family members.
Yeah, basically. And the sons of Tima was Seir, Sadan, and Yakol. And the sons of Yeter were Maris, Yash, Elyon, Pakak. And the sons of Naphish were Ebed, Tamed, Abi Yasef, Emir, and the sons of Kedma were Kalib, Paski, and Amir. These were the children of Malut, the wife of Ishmael, according to their families. All these are the families of Ishmael, according to their generations. Mm-hmm. And they dwell in those lands wherein they had built themselves cities unto this day. And Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the wife of Abraham's son Isaac, was barren in those days. She had no offspring. And Isaac dwelt with his father in the land of Canaan, and the Lord was with Isaac. And Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, died in those days, in the 48th year of the life of Isaac. And all the days of Arpachon lived were 438 years, and he died. Okay. Yeah, those are tongue twister type of names.
And so now we get to a part that where Rebecca have not had any children, and Isaac was 48 years old. Well, yeah, the 48th year of life of Isaac, that she still had not had any children.
So here the promised son had no children. The other children Abraham had, which is Lot, younger than Isaac. All the boys he had with a second wife are a lot younger than Isaac.
Isaac's
about 40 years older than him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, So here they are. They're growing on up, and they're multiplying.
Yeah. Right, right.
So, but all those names I just named, those are the Muslim world. And years down the line, they all going to band together as one united Islam. You know, they're going to dwell in one major city, which is the Iraq and the whole country of Iraq. You know, ain't no telling how many of Abraham's sons are in Iraq alone. Nevertheless, like Iran. You're talking about the Muslim world, even as far as in India. But the Bible said they would always be neighbors with each other, so they're not too far from each other. All right? So, you're talking about Northern Africa, as far as India, that area there.
Yeah.
They're all kinfolk. You know, right? Even to Iran. think about. All right. Let me check to see if anybody called in. Okay. All right. All right. That caller came back. All right. All right.
All right.
Good deal. Good
Wonderful.
Deal. All right. So we're on 26. Let's see here.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go on to 26, how about, you know, I got a guest listening and everything. I'm smiling. Let me go ahead and play a good song, Sister Dale.
Okay. All right. So this guest
For
is coming
our guest,
out of
want
the...
to remain young.
Yeah, well, the area code is coming out of New York.
Oh, well, we ain't got
to
put that out there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guest. I won't say nothing no more about area code.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So. Okay. I'm
going to
play with a song. Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay, Sister Dale. All right. Put you on hold, Sister Dale. All right. Let's play with a song. Let's play a little song, man. You know, got a guest listening right here. And this is Amos 3 by Hezekiah. It's a beautiful song. Hope y'all enjoy.
You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I made a promise, can't nobody take it. I chose to put you above all the nations. Out of your graves, I chose to awaken. We made a covenant, don't you forsake it. Come get protected while they going crazy. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. Israel, my firstborn, my baby. I woke you up in your land of captivity. I do not change, I want you to remember me. Laws and commandments, I gave you the remedy. Go read the testimonies for your memory. I sent them prophets, but you wasn't hearing me. I come to you if you really come near to me. I heard your cry, now it's time to say it to me. I don't know what got you from all of your enemies. Who you know open the sea? Them waters was bitter, but I made it sweet. Case you ain't know how to swim, I'm your protector, so I made you walk on your feet. This a reminder you married to me. I just want you to be all I called you to be. They called you niggas, but I made you priests. I'm about to give you back everything. I'm sending plagues for you. I'm sending boys, drying up rivers. I leave them dead for you. To Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You heard what I said for you. For you. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home, Israel. I'm the reason you in captivity. We made a covenant, you ain't remember me. You broke the covenant, I sent your enemies. Get out my land since you wasn't fearing me. I'm the reason they put you in chains. I'm the reason they switched up your name. I'm the reason why you in the hood. I'm the reason of all your pain. I'm sending flows fast daily. Think I don't love you. Y'all my babies. Hey, my son. Must be crazy. Come out that system. Come out of that lady. They got that military. It would not phase me. It would not move me. It would not graze me. Remember Egypt. I did all that for my people. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. You only ever know. Y'all the main ones I'm watching on my throne. Created everything, but I called you my own. That land I gave you, put my name on it, my home. Yeah, that's my home. Israel.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that. I love that song. I really do. I'm opening up your line, Sister Dale.
Oh, yeah. I love that song, man. I mean, it really does help me a lot. It teaches us a lot, too, and it says everything so complete. And the way he is written. You know, it's giving us a lot of information, and we're just so lost. I mean, I just can't help it. And when I think about it, I thought, oh, my goodness. Oh, how could we have not seen this? How can we have not? We have to unify. We have to become united, all of us. We have to. We have to do this.
Sister,
yeah.
You said, how can we not have seen it? You talking
know,
about like
right?
in the
I mean,
60s and
yeah,
70s
well,
when
I
we
know
was
they
like...
did. I know they did. Yeah. But, you know, it's taken over 100 years or more just to get down south, the information. You know, where people
yeah.
are not sharing and they're not talking and they're not, you know, it wasn't getting the word out. But technology is helping it. And now, you know, we're everyone that's in the south and we weren't able to get as much information, we're getting it now. And, but, you know, I'm in my old age and I wish I was, you know, I wish I was even younger, like 45. I feel like I can do great work. But as I get older, I don't know. I don't know. I pray and hope that I'll be able to contribute. And I do have some ideas, and hopefully I can bring those into fruition.
Right on. All right. Sister, tell me a little, like, what was the mindset in the 60s and 70s? I mean, everybody had the afro.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the closest we ever been as a nation of people. You know?
Well,
as
you know,
far
that,
as being
that really
united.
Was. Yeah, it really was. Because that's when we was in our neighborhood. I was growing up in the 60s. I was, you know, we had segregated schools. I was raised up in the black neighborhood. I didn't penetrate outside of this area, in, you know, much, unless we was in a vehicle, in my dad's station wagon going across town or whatever. That's the only time I seen the outside world. But we had a shopping center close to home and you know, grocery store, and oftentimes that was really the only time that I had a chance to see people of other nationalities, you know. And then of course there was a little cafe there that blacks was not allowed. In fact, they had an entrance in the back, and I had an aunt that was a cook, so in the back, when you go through the back entrance, there's little tables and the cook will come back and get your order. But you wasn't allowed to go up front into the restaurant area. And, you know, the older people always told us that, do not do that, that we'll get in trouble. We didn't know exactly what kind of trouble, but yeah. But as the 60s went on and when they decided that we can go into the cafes and you know, blacks could, I think I was about 12 after president. Well, I can't remember if that was president or if it was Martin Luther King was doing the march and everything. And but I remember when one of the presidents, they did that, and I was about 12 years old, which would still put me in the 60s, the late 60s, I went into this restaurant and ordered a Coke. And everyone stopped and stared at me. And my younger sister said, no, don't go in there. You don't know what they'll do to you. And I said, well, the law of the land says, and I'm going to go. And I was only 12. And I knew that I had to make a step forward at that time. I knew I had to. I was only 12, but I had to think outside the box. And for some reason, I was bold enough. And to me, that set the tone for the rest of my life. I knew I had to fight my way through this white man's world. So the 60s was about all that. And eventually, before I, when I was a freshman, that's when we segregated school, and I didn't go to my high school that I wanted to go to. And, you know, so there we are. So not just myself. It was myself. And then I think, of course, I attended school with Earl Campbell, and we both graduated from this high school here in East Texas. So, you know, that was the, it was strange. But you see how he made it out of this area through sports. But for regular people, you know, when you have parents with 10 and 12 kids, life is going to be hard. And that's the way it was. So we didn't get much information, and it was very hard trying to get jobs and everything else, and it was just crazy, brother.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I asked you that just to get that, you know, that little, conjure up that little spirit, man, of what are we chasing after, and what does it kind of look like when we all literally unite with this brotherhood, you know? And I got to throw this in also. We got other nationalities that believe in our God like we do and love our Messiah like we do. And they want to be dealt in too, right?
Absolutely they do, yes.
Yeah, and I really do believe we're in those last days. So
I
asked that question to at least know what that even feels like, because my time growing up, we didn't see how far apart we can be. Now, as a man, as a young man, it's deep-seated, deep-rooted in my mind that if I was to walk up the street, I am not fearing the police. I'm just not.
No.
They'll ride by. If anything, they'll harass me or ask me my name. But I'm not in fear of my life. I'm in fear of being harassed or handcuffs put on me and, you know, take me to the jail for, you know, crossing the street wrong or something, you know, jail, you know what I'm saying? But when it comes to my life, it's my neighbors, the another black man. Because when I see them, their eyes are dead set on pain, on hurting me. You know what I mean? I know that when I walk up the street. It's another type of fear that I'm trying to describe to you, that whenever you come across the wrong black person, and for whatever reason they got their sights set on you, you fear for your life. That's when I was coming up, that's the gang height of the gang activity was at its height, you know. I don't know if it's going down or increasing. Yeah, I don't know if it's going down or decreasing. But
I have experienced that, brother. I have experienced that. Working in the healthcare field, and I was getting off late at night, and I usually before I go home, I'll check my post office box. So I'll stop at the local post office, and which would be, you know, right at about 10 o'clock at night. But it was in the main area of our downtown and area. So, you know, I figured that it was a safe place to stop. And it's a federal building, you know. So there I go. I go in. As usual, this has happened so many times, but on this particular day, there wasn't anyone in there, so I parked in front, and I went in to my box, and on my way out, a gentleman, young man, looked like he was really having a really hard time. He was, I want to say that he was just all dirty and messed up. I don't know, like he was on the streets or something, but I also noticed that he was bleeding on one arm. one of his arms was bleeding, like he'd been in a fight, and he was telling me that his car broke down, and because he had one hand under his jacket, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, he has a weapon, and he was saying that he was trying to talk to me with the arm that was had blood on it, but he said that the car had broken down. His wife and child was in the car, and he's been working on the car, and he needed some money for some gas because they ran out of gas, and he was thinking, okay, well, he didn't know what was wrong with it, but he needed some money for gas, and at first I was really afraid of him. And then I looked at him in his eyes. I did not take my eyes off of his eyes. And I just knew that this brother was going through something, whether it was drugs, mental, whatever. And so I knew that this brother, he didn't want to hurt me. Because if he wanted to hurt me, he would have came out with his weapon, you know, straight out at me. But he didn't. And so because he didn't, I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said he just need a few dollars, you know, for some gas. And I told him, I'm sorry, I don't carry cash, just cards. And he was saying that, well, remember, there's a bank around the corner. I said, oh, yeah, you're right. He said, there's an ATM. You can go through there. I said, you're absolutely right, young man. There is an ATM and there is a bank around the post office. And I said, you know what? Let me go around. Let me, you know, let me do that. I'll tell you what. I have to go to the end of the block and go around into the bank. And when I come back out, it's going to make me, I'm going to have to make a block. But if you'll just wait over there on the corner, I'll come through and I'll hand you a couple of dollars, a few dollars to get you on your way, okay? And he said, yes, ma'am. And you know what? Something told me,
what?
Thelma, you got to do exactly what you just said. And I did. I got in, he let me walk to my car, got in my car, went around the block, and he went out and he waited on the opposite corner of the post office. He opposite. And so I came around the block after I left the bank, and I did come through, and on my passenger side, I rolled my window down, you know, electric window, and I gave him a bill. And he thank you, ma'am. I said, you take care, but really, you really need to take care of yourself and your family, okay? And that was the end of
okay,
that.
Okay, yes.
And so I got through that. But what did I see, though? I seen a hurt individual.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason why I was starting to giggle, though, Ma, is because I think I got a little of that quick thinking. this is a crazy world we live in.
It really is.
Because this is a crazy world we live in. And
it is.
But I mean, I understand where you're going with it. You know, you seen he was in going through something. You acted on the opening.
Yeah, he was going. Wasn't
that? Just quick on your toes. Quick on your toes.
Yeah.
You can see that he might have had a weapon, but he wasn't quick to pull it out. You know, he didn't really want to.
So yeah, I don't believe he really wanted to. But no, look.
No, but I mean, I'm just trying to say.
Down.
I'm just trying to say.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to say to
Stell. Yeah.
I'm just trying.
Wait.
To Stell.
Go ahead, brother.
To Stell.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to say it's quick thinking. You know, got yourself out of a bond. No incident went down. You know, and you gave someone who in need $100. And that was quick thinking, and I think the spirit was in you, like, hey, help this guy, please. You know, this guy would have hurt somebody. He might hurt somebody or some stranger, you know, or whatever, you know. He might, I mean, who knows? Because, I mean, this time period we're living in,
You know, these
we
some,
we never
some
know
going through it.
Right. Yeah, but we never know who's going to come in. Who we're going to come in contact with. And sometimes basically how we handle the situation. You know, it's basically how we handle the situation. A lot of times when people jump the gun on a lot of things, then we have a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems. They jump the gun. They just so quick to do the wrong thing, really. And they cause us a lot of pain for other people as well. And so, you know, that's... But no, I think I was looking at him and I seen the pain and the hurt and the drugs. Looked like he was on drugs and someone beat him up or took his drugs. I don't know. But I not only gave him that little money, I did gave him a word. And I said, yeah, go ahead and take care of yourself and your family. You really do need to take care of yourself. And I hope that helped. Yes, ma'am. He said, yes, ma'am. And I say to myself, you see, we don't know when we're entertaining angels. We just don't know how we act. Do we mean what we say? You know?
Mm,
I would have been just
as
bad as he if I had not followed through with what I had just told him. You know, follow through. If you're going to do something, if you're going to say something, you have to say it. You can't keep it with you because you think that, I don't want to get into satisfaction. I don't want to do that. No, you can't do that because you got to do the right thing.
Okay.
I
don't mean to interrupt you, but we got another caller just called in.
Okay,
we got
another brother. Please.
Okay, Erico 408. You are live on the air. Erico 408.
How you doing? All right,
brother. How you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm doing better than most, worse than a few, you know.
Right on. I can dig it. Any comments or anything so far you heard in the show or anything you like to say, man?
I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of things come through my thought process, you know. And as I'm looking at different things, come to find out that if I entertain the wrong thing for too long, it tends to get into my makeup, you know. And when I'm talking about that thing and Yahweh is listening to me, He always reminds me, you know, you've got to stop listening to what man thinks that I'm saying to you because it ain't going to get you nowhere, you know. And so I'd be trying to be focused on what God is saying, you know what I mean? I ain't trying to listen to none of the other stuff, you know. I've heard it before 100,000 times, you know. And I always have a question mark in my mind about what people be saying. And God always will give me the answer if I pay attention. Because, you know, being in a covenant with him, a covenant means that when two are sitting down, they're eating together. One is speaking, the other is listening. When the one is done speaking, the other one that was listening is going to open their mouth and they're going to speak about what they were listening to. That's why it's important. You know, God says not what goes in a person that messes them up, you know, it's what comes out of their mouth. And so this goes back to what I was saying. You know, we got to be listening to what he be saying about what he did when there was time. You know, obviously folk be saying, excuse me.
No, I'm listening. I'll just kind of hear you out, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah. Folk be saying that, you know, that, you know, they'd be saying things like they'd be quoting a scripture out of the Bible, you know, they'd be quoting some scripture and they'd be saying like, you got to do what God be saying, you know, because this is the word of God, right? And I told them.
Yeah, I catch that a lot, man.
But hold up. let me get to the point, man.
Okay.
So they be saying like, you know, they be quoting a scripture. I don't care where they go, man. I don't care if you go anywhere from Genesis to the book of Revelation, you go throw a scripture up in the atmosphere, right? I already ate that word. I'm a student, you know what I'm saying? I'm an eschatology master, you know, and I tell people all the time, you know, when you eat the word of God, you get to walk in that, you know, you get to walk in it, you know. And so I was walking in the first century, you know what I'm saying? And I got to learn about what happened when there was time. So I get to go back 2,000 years. The Holy Spirit inside of me is teaching me something, but man wants to jump up and sit on the seat of who I am and tell me, no, that's wrong and this is right. And I'm telling man, look, you got to get behind me because you ain't mindful of the things of God. You know what I'm saying, man? And man ain't going to listen because man got a stiff neck. He got a little mind of his own. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, God, you know, because God, I want to do something. And he goes, no, we ain't doing like that. You know, let me take care of that. You know, I need you to stay humble so you can watch what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay. So I watch what God be doing. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, yeah. God, you are amazing what you do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I can dig it, man. It's bigger than what we all can imagine, man.
Yeah, man.
It's different people, different walks of life, different experiences, and different levels and reading what God is laying down, man, and you know, picking up what God is laying down, man, and just different frequencies, man. So we always gotta have that open mind. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Can I say something like I'd be talking to, I called into your show, you know what I'm saying? Because I want to represent what you're talking about, you know what I mean? And I just don't want to misrepresent, you know, what you're talking about, you know what I mean? So sometimes when I'm speaking, you know, some people don't be reflecting what I be projecting because they don't feel me, you know what I'm saying? Because look at, you know, some people are deep, you know what I'm saying? Some people got deep off into the word, you know what I mean? But other people ain't so deep, man. They shallow, you know, and that's the Christianity we got today. It's a religious system, and I'm not even a part of the system, bro. I have no desire to be a part of the system. I'm in the system to know that what they've been taught is wrong, man. You've got to remember something. Man is a liar, you know what I'm saying? Man knows how to play on things. You know, he figured out how to make money and stuff, you know, on people and stuff. Yeah. And a lot of times people don't understand this, but look at you don't when you've been born of the spirit, you know what I mean? You got a spiritual part of yourself that can see past the flesh yourself. Spiritually speaking, the way God be looking at you, and he ain't looking at you like man be looking at you. So you got to get over that stuff, man. You can't be listening to that. You know, you can't listen to that.
All right. Yeah, right. I want to say something on that. I want to say I'm at this point of time in my walk, man, with the Most High, I'm still kind of learning that spiritual side, brother. Right now, I kind of that identity kind of hit me. And now I know what's precious to the Most High, and that's following his commandments. And so I'm kind of, you know, getting comfortable with that. And I understand there's a lot of spirituality talk that's going on in Scripture.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I never claimed to be fully knowledgeable of the Bible like that. But, you know, I'm just saying I'm still kind of getting to understand that spiritual side. Because it seems like it's so much wiggle room in that spiritual side to allow, like, well, the devil or Satan to act like he's Christ. You know what I'm saying? Because everything, you know, is like spiritually speaking. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
and it just kind of makes everything blurry. Go ahead.
Hey, bro, look at Satan. The devil, the sin in the flesh, okay? Christ came down from heaven. Heaven was above Jerusalem. Because Israel, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created old covenant Israel. Now listen, if you go to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19, It talks about heaven and earth there. So what does it say in Leviticus 26:19? It says, I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. So once again, God was talking to old covenant Israel, because Israel had pride lifted up into the heavenly realm. And where was heaven? Above Jerusalem. Christ came down and was born of a virgin woman, a birth. So it had nothing to do with Joseph and Mary making a baby named Jesus. That's just the story that they tell. But are looking for the physical manifestation of Jesus. But they didn't know that when Jesus, I call him Yeshua, whatever you want to call him, the Christ, when Jesus opened his mouth, what came out of his mouth was Christ's words. So people that don't learn the deeper things of God's word is because their heart isn't inclined to wanting to know. They already think they have the answer, and that's why they're going to become a fool before they become wise.
Okay, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy. I like that, brother. I like that because I feel like that's what I've been most of my life. What, brother?
Is there a little echo happening on this thing? I'm sorry. I don't know why it's doing like that.
I'm just saying that I didn't get the knowledge. We didn't get the information. I didn't know about this. I did not know this type of information before.
Oh. Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's fine. I mean,
waking up that you're Israel? So, Sarah, that's what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I can tell that, but I can see remnants of my past and how the Most High was working with me. I could tell that.
Yeah.
Like the brother just said, I could not. You know, when I told you about the incident where I had I believe 14-month-old baby had, it was almost like a fit, sudden infant death syndrome. It was on a winter night, snow, and when I realized that my daughter was not breathing, and I was changing a diaper because that was back in the day, and we had real diapers. When I was changing her diapers, and I found out that she was not breathing. So, and my husband was not at home. And he had left, and there was no vehicle, and the snow was about 4 feet deep. I didn't know what else to do. So I was in a position, and I ran to where my mom lived, which was, 30 feet away, knocking on her door. But this child did not have any clothes on because I didn't even put the diaper on her. And we both fell in the snow. So she got, I knew I was falling, so I just pushed her up ahead of me. And so I just lost her in the snow. So I got up and wiped my face, and then I reached down in the snow to find her. And when I did, I just grabbed her and kept trying to run. But what I wanted to say mainly is that when I got the attention of my mother and my brother, the phone system was down, and I was just asked them, please, I just want someone, anyone. I just need some help. I was hoping that help will arrive. And all the while, I was just talking about, just wish there was someone that could help me at this time. And you know what? I realized when my mom said, Thelma, she's gone, I thought, no, it just can't be. And then I had to ask for forgiveness. Yes, well, let me finish this, brother. But I asked for forgiveness because I realized that I was screaming and crying for the wrong person, for whomever. If if I had faith, it wouldn't have been in man.
Oh,
and I realized that it wasn't in man. Just like what he was just saying a few minutes ago. I said, Lord, Father, forgive me. Because the one that has the power of life and death is you. And here I am asking and praying and inquiring for anyone that can help me and help me with my child or bring my child back to life. Because we had assumed that she was already passed.
Mm-hmm.
And when
wow.
I did, because I
your
had grabbed the...
There? You still there?
Hey, brother, I'm so excited. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you.
That is power. That is power.
That's power.
That is power, brother. I mean to tell you that I asked the Most High to forgive me of my sin for thinking that man had the answers. I realized that man does not have the answers. And so I turned my daughter over, and I said, if it's in your will, not mine, but your will, I asked for my daughter's life back, because she was absent of life by the time. I turned her over, and I said a prayer in the name of the Messiah.
Uh-huh.
Ask the Lord to bless her. Let me just say, I pray to the Father in the name of the Son, the Messiah, and I hit her in her back, more or less. I turned her over in my arm. One arm held my daughter, and I hit her in her back, and she started crying. Sir, I'm talking about maybe 20 minutes.
Mm.
20 minutes. Mm. Or more of not breathing.
Oh, my God.
Who has the
power?
That's
a miracle.
In an instant.
Miracle.
In an instant. That's what I'm talking about. So how could I think anything less, if anything else, have in my lifetime? There's nothing compared. That I got my answer. I can't think anything less.
Can I say something?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Can I say something?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Can you see all the actions that led up to this miracle that you're talking about?
Yes, I do.
All those actions that led up to it. You were describing all the actions that led up to the miracle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you you included yourself. You said, you know, you were looking to man, you know, you were like somebody instead of, you know, and then God showed, you know, me, look at me. I'm the one that's the giver.
He did. That did come to me.
He did.
You're right.
So listen. So all the actions that lead up to the miracles is the actions of Christ that we get to practice. And we become more efficient in what we're doing, because we're learning that it's not about us, it's about him. And if it's about him, then we get to see the actions that lead up to these miracles, and those actions are the ones that we practice, so that there's a testimony about what God's doing, and nobody can claim that testimony. Only God gets the credit for that.
Absolutely. And you know, it didn't stop there, right? So I'm not going to say any more tonight. But it didn't stop there. That was I thought I was, let's just say I thought I was a real good Christian. I wanted to be a missionary, but then I lost it when it came to my child. And then I realized that, oh, my goodness, I don't know how I could have made that mistake. But that opened the door for me to see things differently throughout the world.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, God's taking your path. He's making it very good for your future. So you have a testimony about that, and that's just beautiful. That's a wonderful testimony. I really appreciate you sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, you know what we can do? We can take another little short little break, and after the break, you know, hop back into the Book of Jasher. Hopefully, get another chapter knocked down. All right, and for any new callers that's on here, normally the show is from Sunday, Mondays, and Thursdays at 5 p.m. Tonight is a special night. I missed this past Monday, so me and Sister Thel decided to do a late night show. But I'm kind of liking the little feedback I'm getting from having the show. So I don't know. So still, it kind of make me want to, you know, have more night shows or something, you know?
Well, you know, it's like the brother said, there are things that bring us to this moment. There are things that have happened that brought us to this moment. So this is a special time.
Yes, ma'am.
So
but
everything
what I'm saying
doesn't happen just because. I understand what you're saying, brother. So this is a special time because there's people all over. That's all over with different time zones. So you're right. And someone is tuning in. Someone is listening. Someone accidentally is tuned in. And I'm just believing that it's not a mistake. It was meant to be.
Okay.
That's all
I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
a beautiful thing, just like you just said.
All right. Yeah. So, we don't normally do the night. So we mostly be in the daytime, and maybe it's meant to be. I don't know. But it definitely, this conversation definitely kind of makes me want to, you know, for our nightly audience that's up, you know, in the wee hours of the night or whatever. To have a little show. But typically what we do on the show is talk about issues that's going around the world. But here lately, me and Sistel definitely been reading extra biblical books. We want to try to write everything about it, man. All the books that there are about it, you know. If whatever we can get our hands on, we want to read it, you know. Especially if they complement our canons, our Bible. Yeah, basically, and playing good music. I'm going to take us to a break, play a little song, and I'm hoping y'all kind of liking that, man. And okay, Erico 408 looked like he just dropped out. All right, well, it's all good. Anyway, so let me go and play a little song, and let me see. Sistel, how about one of your favorite songs there? Let's play this one.
Israel.
Then. I love you.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah. Israel, I love you like I love myself. Israel. And who is
right, welcome back on this side of the break. All right, we got about 40 minutes left, y'all, in the show, so we'll get back into it. Okay, let's see here. We got a hand raised up here. Area code 929, your hand has just went up. Let me open up your line here. All right, area code 929. All right, you're on the edge.
I apologize because I'm thinking, oh, press 1 to, like, listen to the call and stuff because I couldn't hear it, so.
Oh, okay. Well, we're glad to have you as a caller. Yeah, you press 1, your hand will go down. But when you press, 1 again, your hand will go up, and I can see your hand goes up like you got a question or something, you know. So, all right, but, yeah, if you... If you was to press 1 right now, your hand would go down. And I know that you just kind of want to listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you got anything you want to say or add in there, any comments or whatever comes on your mind, just press 1 and I'll come running to you. All right. I put you back on hold. All right, Sister Dale, you ready to get back into the Book of Jasher?
Yes, I am, and I sure do appreciate the brothers and the people, the listeners, because I'm sure they're just like, you know, we are all seeking, and we all want to grow, and we all know that we need to unite. I mean,
right,
all of us, everyone. We all need to unite. And this is brothers and sisters all over the world, you know. So because he said, you know, I was just thinking about my neighbor. Even our neighbors. We just need to show love. That's what's going to unite us, love, too. Caring about each other, respecting each other, that type of thing. So let's get back into the Apocrypha, the Book of Jasher. And I think we're on chapter, 26?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Okay.
Okay. All right, chapter 26, verse 1. And in the 59th year of the life of Isaac, the son of Abraham, Rebekah's wife was still barren in those days. And Rebekah said unto Isaac, truly I have heard, my Lord, that thy mother Sarah was barren in her days until my Lord Abraham, thy father, prayed for her and she conceived by him. Now therefore stand up, pray thou also to God, and he will hear thy prayer and remember us through his mercies. And Isaac answered his wife Rebekah, saying, Abraham has already prayed for me to God to multiply his seed. Now, therefore, this barrenness must proceed to us from thee. And Rebekah said unto him, but arise now thou also and pray, that the Lord may hear thy prayer and grant me children. And Isaac hearkened to the words of his wife. And Isaac and his wife rose up and went to the land of Moriah to pray there and to seek the Lord. And when they had reached that place, Isaac stood up and prayed to the Lord on account of his wife, because she was barren. And Isaac said, O Lord God of heaven and earth, whose goodness and mercies fill the earth, thou who didst take my father from his father's house and from his birthplace, and didst bring him unto this land, and did it say unto him, to thy seed will I give the land. And thou didst promise him, and didst declare unto him, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand of the sea. Now may thy words be verified, which thou didst speak unto my father. Okay, I'm going to pause right there.
Yeah, that is a lot. That is a lot, and I have one thing that I like to add and ask anyone else if they want to comment on that. because I knew it goes against.
Our caller just hung up.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a caller on the line. They hung up.
Okay. Well, but he still could be listening. So, brother, let's just get into it here, because I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead with your question.
I understand, you know, I can see how Rebecca really more or less begged Isaac to go before the Lord and pray himself when he said, my father already prayed, you know, to the Most High, and he have granted him, you know, that his seed would be, and he repeated everything because he knew from his past the words. But then she said, yes, but you need to go before the Lord and there again, he listened to his wife. So what brings to mind is this another one of those things like Adam and Eve, where the wife is saying something and he's, you know, paying attention? And now I'm waiting to find out exactly how this, you know, turned out. But I'm just saying, you know, how I didn't know that, you know, Isaac listened or his wife said something to him. So that's the reason why I say this extra reading. It kind of gives us a little bit more insight. I don't know for sure if this really happened, but I'm just saying it's worth talking about.
Okay. Gotcha. I wanted to pause right there to kind of remind, you know, whoever's listening that Rebecca, she's like a distant cousin. She's from Abraham's brother, granddaughter, I think.
Yeah.
Abraham's
like little
brother. This is his granddaughter. Now, we don't know how the men in that family, how they pick wives. We just don't know what's in Rebecca's bloodline. And I just want to add that in there because, you know, they are, you know, from the house of Shem. So they already got some, by judging how the Canaanites and Philistines, the Egyptians, how they treated Abraham and his wife. Abraham had to lie, you know what I'm saying, that his wife was his sister. Well, it technically wasn't a lie. So, but still, well, it was a lie. Because in the book of Jasher, well, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, you
it's
know,
in the canon,
it's
too.
In the book of
it's
Jasher.
In the canon, too. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying it got him to withhold his true identity to Sarah, you know.
Right,
you know,
right.
Their relationship. Right. Anyway, because in the book of Jasher, that was his niece. In our canon, that's his sister. Right? So.
Oh, no. Yeah. I thought it was sister also in Jasher.
No, he had another brother that was older than him that died when Nimrod put Abraham in a furnace. His brother died with him, died in that furnace. And when they got ready to leave, he took Sarah and his nephew Lot and their dad, you know, and they kind of left that area. But we read over that in Jasher. You don't remember that part?
Yeah, I do remember, but now you're making me question myself, so I'm going to have to go back and read it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I know you said
so
niece,
Sarah,
but I thought it was sister.
Sarah and Lot, their brother and sister.
Okay.
Sarah and Lot is brother and sister.
Okay.
Abraham. Their dad is Abraham's oldest brother.
Yeah, I got you.
And when Nimrod was going to kill the father that his son told him to, you know, hide the baby or switch the baby when Abraham was born. You remember that part?
I'm not thinking back that far right now, brother, but yes, I sort of remember that, brother, but I was just going over recent stuff.
Abraham's dad named Sarah.
Kid in my brain. Yeah. But okay, we'll keep on going forward.
Okay, but I just want to try my best to remind you. Nimrod was going to kill Abraham's dad, Terah. You remember how scared he was and that he was like, you know, tell on his own son, you know? You don't remember that part?
Right, I remember. Yes, I do. I just don't, I can't recall exact like you.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. But it was a big, you know. But yeah, okay. All right. Let's get back to it. Let's get this knocked out. Let's see. Where did we leave off at?
I think we
five.
We own seven. Let's see.
Oh, seven.
Well. And six, Isaac prays. Okay. All right.
For thou art the Lord our God, our eyes are toward thee to give us seed of men, as thou didst promise us. For thou art the Lord our God, and our eyes are directed toward thee only. And the Lord heard the prayer of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And in about 7 months... You was about to say something, Phil?
Yeah, well, Rebekah told him that he needs to go before the Lord and pray himself, to talk to the Lord himself. He needs to pray. And he did. And the Most High heard his prayer. And he was entreated that Isaac actually came to him, you know, and there she goes. And then there you go. I think it's a mystery to me, but I'm learning because I know he uses whomever he chooses to use. And we just can't miss because we don't know who it is. But there are some he uses for particular reasons. Okay, and that's all I want to say. We know that our brothers, our males, is the head of the household. We know that as well. So I don't think that all women, you know, try to be that way, but we try to be helpmeets. As long as they know they're trying to be a helpmeet, then I think the man will know his wife. Instead of one trying to tell him what to do, then versus, you know, she more or less asked him to do it too. You know, she didn't try to command or anything like that. So I think that she was a real good person, and the Lord was happy about that too. He blessed them. Okay, that's all I have to say, brother. I thought you muted me for a minute there.
No. All right. All right, verse 9. And in about 7 months after the children struggled together within her, and it pained her greatly that she was wearied on account of them. And she said to all the women who were then in the land, did such a thing happen to you as it has to me? And they said unto her, no. So that right there tells me this was a crazy pregnancy.
Yeah.
A pregnancy with a lot of pain and anguish. Mm.
And apparently she said, this may be the beginning of the beginning of twins.
Yes, ma'am. We're reading about Isaac and Rebekah having Jacob and Esau.
Yeah. I think they're the first twins that are discussed in the canon, right?
The first twins. Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess you could say that. I don't think Cain and Abel was twins.
And that's the reason why
think there was any other twins spoke of.
Yeah,
what's
but
that?
She probably felt both babies moving at the same time, and she was like, "Have anything like this ever happened to anyone that you know or heard of?"
You got a point. You do got a point right there. All right. Let me see. Let me keep on. What verse am I in? Okay. 10. And she said unto them, "Why am I alone in this amongst all the women that were upon the earth?" And she went to the land of Moriah to seek the Lord on account of this. And she went to Shem and Eber, his son, to make inquiries of them in this manner, and that they should seek the Lord in this thing respecting her. And she also asked Abraham to seek and inquire of the Lord about all that had befallen her. And they all inquired the Lord concerning this matter. And they brought her word from the Lord and told her, "Two children are in thy womb, and two nations shall rise from them. And one nation shall be stronger than the other, and the greater shall serve the younger." All right. So she decides to take a journey, to go to Abraham and get him to, say some prayers, ask God what's going on. So this is a big deal that's going on with her.
And we can see that she went to the leaders. She went to the men folk. Remember, she asked the ladies, "Have anyone seen anything like this before?" They said no. So she went to the men for prayer because they're leaders. To inquire upon the Lord in her stead.
Right. She went to the Shem and
Elders.
Eber and Abraham and all of them, and they all brung her back word. All right. So after they then prayed and asked God this question, what's going on, they brung back this word. And this word, we can find it in our canon as well. It's to the letter that was said to her. I'm going to go ahead and read it again. And they all inquired of the Lord concerning this matter. And they brought her word from the Lord and told her, "Two children are in thy womb, and two nations shall rise from them." And when you see nations, you can say nationality. All right? Two different nationalities. Maybe not at birth. In due time, they will turn into two different totally
nations.
Opposite. You know what I'm saying? Two nations shall rise from them, and one nation shall be stronger than the other. One nationality shall be stronger than the other nationality, and the greater shall serve the younger. Okay. The greater shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were complete, she knelt down, and behold, there were twins in her womb, as the Lord had spoken to her. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And all the people of the land called his name Esau, saying that this one was made complete from the womb. And after that came his brother, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. Therefore, they called his name Jacob. All right. And Isaac, the son of Abraham, was 60 years old when he begot them. And the boys grew up. And the boys grew up to their 15th year. And they came amongst a society of men.
Esau was a designing and deceitful man. Esau was a designing and deceitful man. 15 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. An expert hunter in the field. At 15, he was a master planner and a deceitful man and a master hunter or expert hunter. And Jacob was a man perfect and wise. When that word perfect means that he does what he's told, and he's he's intelligent, much wisdom, but he's more of a commandment keeper, right and wrong, and just, he learned the rules and he followed them. And he dwells in tents, so most likely he tends to flocks and have a garden or something like that. And that's pretty much his little life, his little routine. Is tending with the animals and maintaining that garden, and that wisdom, probably learning about different herbs, medicine, things of that sort. But it's what I'm trying to say is that Esau, when it says he's a designing and deceitful man, meaning that he can pick up, read you, and kind of see where you at mentally, and it tell you one thing, and he go do the other. He knows because you're going to fall for it already. You know what I'm saying? So he can set a trap up for you.
Con artist or something more or less,
yeah. Yeah, you can say that. He got a little bit of that in him. He's always two steps ahead of you, he's that type of guy, right? Especially when he knows that he knows something you don't know. And that deceitful man. But he's good at hunting animals. He's the man of the field. You hear me? He camouflages himself all in the branches and stuff, Yeah, animals just don't see them coming, right?
Yeah. Expert.
Yeah. Animals just don't see them coming. All right. Now, where am I at? 18?
18.
And Isaac, okay. Oh, okay, let me see. Okay, Jacob was a man perfect and wise, dwelling in tents, feeding the flocks, and learning the instructions of the Lord and the commands of his father and mother. Okay, so he's just a person that does what he's told to the T, to the letter, okay? While Esau was more of a black sheep / man's man out there, kind of breaking rules, but still got a lot of love for him, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, 18. And Isaac and the children of his household dwelt with his father Abraham in the land of Canaan, as God had commanded them. And Ishmael, the son of Abraham, went with his children and all belonging to them, and they returned there to the land of Havilah, and they dwelt there. And all the children of Abraham's concubines went to dwell in the land of the east, for Abraham had sent them away from his sons and have given them presents, and they went away. So they was all in Canaan. All right. And Abraham made sure they go further east and live there.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was more than one concubines. And so that, therefore, they probably didn't go all in the same place. They just went with their families hither to the east.
Yeah, Abraham was a rich man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very wealthy. And so
he made sure his all his kids got a little portion, you know, of his riches and stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, but he's making sure they don't all get mixed up around Isaac, and then this area here, you know, Jacob is, you know, I imagine all eyes are on Isaac and Rebecca right now. With the elders, you know what I'm saying? All right, all eyes on him. Okay, where am I at now?
Yeah. We're in 21.
Okay, and Abraham gave all that he had to his sons, Isaac. And he also gave him all his treasures. And he commanded him, saying, "Does thou not know and understand the Lord is God in heaven and in earth? And there is no other beside him. And it was he who took me from my father's house and from my birthplace and gave me all the delights upon earth, who delivered me from the counsel of the wicked, for in him did I trust. And he brought me to this place, and he delivered me from Ur Kasdim. And he said unto me, to thy seed will I give all these lands, and they shall inherit them when they keep my commandments, my statutes, and my judgments that I have commanded thee, and which I shall command them. Now, therefore, my son, hearken to my voice, and keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I commanded thee. Do not turn from the right way, either to the right. Do not turn from the right way either, to the right or to the left, in order that it may be well with thee and thy children after thee forever. And remember the wonderful works of the Lord and this kindness that he has shown toward us in having delivered us from the hands of our enemies. And the Lord our God caused them to fall into our hand. And now, therefore, keep all that I have commanded thee, and turn not away from the commandments of thy God, and serve none besides him, in order that it may be well with thee and thy seed after thee. And teach thou thy children and thy seed the instructions of the Lord and his commandments, and teach them the upright way, the Jasher way, in which they should go, in order that it may be well with them forever." All right, Jasher, the upright way.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaac answered his father and said unto him, "That which my Lord has commanded, that will I do. And I will not depart from the commands of the Lord my God. I will keep all that he commanded me." And Abraham blessed his son Isaac and also his children. And Abraham taught Jacob the instruction of the Lord and his ways. And it was at that time that Abraham died. In the 15th year of the life of Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac and all the days of Abraham were 175 years. And he died and was gathered to his people in good old age, old and satisfied with days. And Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him. And when the inhabitants of Canaan heard that Abraham was dead, they all came with their kings and princes and all their men to bury Abraham. And all the inhabitants of the land of Haran and all the families of the house of Abraham and all the princes and grandees and the sons of Abraham by the concubines all came when they heard Abraham's death. And they requited Abraham's kindness and comforted Isaac, his son. And they buried Abraham in the cave, which he brought Paul Ephraim, the Hittite, and his children for the possession of a burial place. And all the inhabitants of Canaan and all those who had known Abraham wept for Abraham a whole year. Men and women mourned over him. And all the little children and all the inhabitants of the land wept on account of Abraham, for Abraham had been good to them all, and because he had been upright, Jasher, with God and men. And there arose not a man who feared God.
And there arose not a man who feared God like unto Abraham, for he had feared his God from his youth, and have served the Lord, and have gone in all his ways during his life, from his childhood to the day of his death. And the Lord was with him and delivered him from the counsel of Nimrod. And when he made war with the four kings of Elam, he conquered them. And he brought all the children of the earth to the service of God. And he taught them the ways of the Lord and caused them to know the Lord. And he formed a grove and planted a vineyard therein. And he had always prepared his tent meat and drink to those that passed through the land, and that they might be satisfied, that they might satisfy themselves in his house. And the Lord God delivered the whole earth on account of Abraham. And it was after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac and his children. And the Lord was with Isaac as he had been with his father Abraham. For Isaac kept all the commandments of the Lord as Abraham his father had commanded him. He did not turn to the right or to the left from the right path which his father had commanded him. At the end of 26.
Yep, that's good, brother. That was a good lesson tonight. And we learned a lot in that portion there, you know. And that we've already heard the story of, but listening and going over this in Jasher, the Apocrypha, is just and more of an insight. And so I kind of see a little bit of difference in that, and I'm getting more of a completed picture, I would say. You know, it's very informative, and it paints a slightly different picture. That's all I, you know, that's all I can say about it. But yeah.
All right. Yeah. Going into, like we expected, a little bit more detail about certain subjects, you know. And, you know, it just complements our canon, which it makes it easier for me to accept it as truth. But I got to admit, if there is something that pops up, though, along the way that disagrees with our canon, then I'm going to have to go with our canon every time, because mentally I put my canon as, you know, the authoritative scripture, you know, that came from Moses. I mean, as far as I know, that's what that is. So, therefore, by default, you know, I can't accept everything, you know, that's going on. So, with that being said, let me go ahead and, I mean, do you have anything else you want to add to that before I play a little song?
And I know that we're at the end of our show. However, I wanted to just point out that Jacob and Esau were 15 years old when Abraham died.
Yeah.
They were just 15 years old. And, you know, in those days, they lived to be, you know, 175. Abraham lived 175 years. And so therefore,
right,
you know, they was only 15 years old when Abraham died. But apparently Jacob, because he was tending to the, in the tents and close to the tents and that, things like that, and making sure that he followed the instructions of his parents and everything, I think that really set the tone for him serving the Lord and learning of the Lord be in his youth as a little boy, whereas Esau was outside. You know, he wasn't sitting in the tent listening to his dad or whatever. You know, he'd rather go outside and play and hunt or whatever. And I can see how, you know, he took a liking to Jacob because he wanted to give that foundation to make sure that, and I think the Most High was pleased with that. So he just blessed Okay, that's all I wanted to point out, how young they were. Yeah.
All right, okay. All right. Shalom to you, Sister Bill. And we about to wrap up the show. And,
okay, shalom to all our listeners. And we appreciate their comments tonight.
All right. Yeah, and the next time we'll be on air would be, tomorrow, right? Thursday.
Thursday
at 5 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not tomorrow, but it's after midnight right now, so I'm saying tomorrow.
Well, was a blessing,
Thursday.
Brother. You got a couple of callers on the pop-up. So chances are you have several listeners out there that happen to tune in to you tonight, and that's a blessing too.
Right.
Okay. All right. Shalom.
All right. Shalom, Sister L. Let me put you on hold. All right. Yeah. So anyway, that was all right, y'all. And what I want to play to end it. What song I want to play to end it, y'all? Let's play. I mean, something kind of upbeat, right? Let's play Light Shine. Because, I mean, we're just letting our light shine on the show, right? Let's play Light Shine.
Matthew chapter 5, looking at verses 14 through 16, the title of this message is Let Your Light Shine. Let your light shine. Oh, this is very important. I don't have to tell you how dark things are in our world. As we know how dark things are, what should our response be? Oh, I'm ashamed to say that many of us, we've grown accustomed to the darkness. It says you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Hallelujah. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. Shine a light and let them all shine. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All praise to the Most High, He endures me. You don't praise the Father, yet you lost me. I swear it feel like basketball the way they cross me. Feeling like a muffler, they exhaust me. But I praise the Most High, no lie. I say, no lie, both sides, no lie. But I praise the Most High, no lie. I say, no lie, both sides, no lie. Demons be coming, but we not running, cause we are chosen, eh. I tell them repent, I swear it's humongous, yeah, it's amongst us, eh. Demons be coming, but we not running, cause we are chosen, eh. I tell them repent, I swear it's humongous, yeah, it's amongst us, eh. Yeah. A million watts when I step in, see the light, yeah. I'm meditating, seeing angels on my right, yeah. I tap in, they transport me like flight, yeah. Second max speed, chapter 7, we not getting caught. What your soul cost? This is not a sport, this is real life. Go against the dog, try to knock us off. That's a heavy cost, but we still fight. I can see the devil, please knock it off. We know you soft, don't get high. Benjamin, my tribe, yeah, we pray to God, but I see the demons, so I still fight. Shalom. We gon' shine our light and let them on. We gon' shine our light and let them on.